We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction. On the trolley back alley, heading for some Nutmeg function. All the people we see and the places we go, we'll have you right back by the end of the show. We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction.
Tickets, please. Tickets, please.
Here's mine.
Oh, thank you. What a happy couple. Thank you for traveling on our trolley.
Oh,
oh,
we're not.
We haven't...
Not together.
We haven't met. The seat was open, and you see, and I,
Pleased to meet you.
Likewise.
There, we've met.
We have indeed.
My apologies for making assumptions, but I'm happy to have created this introduction for you, and I hope the rest of your journey is positive and enjoyable.
Somewhat awkward, I guess.
It was. I'm Kristen.
Steve. Nice to meet you. Sometimes...
Perhaps we
chance
should...
meetings are...
Sorry,
you... Great minds think alike. You were saying?
So, what's your destination?
Waterbury. And you?
Oh, yes. Waterbury.
Of course. Wait. Don't tell me that you're going to the Mattituck Museum, too.
Murder Mystery Night. Now I can sort of tell why the conductor thought we were a couple. We're both dressed up in period costumes, like your red plaid jacket.
No, no, I always dress like this. But I like your feather boa, though.
Oh, this old thing? Before I leave the house, I look in the mirror and then add one more item, like a feather boa.
Well, it works for you. I suppose we would have met at the museum.
I'm happy to meet you now.
Serendipity.
Like Serendip History.
What's that?
The program? Serendip History? I'm not saying that we're making history here, but there's a program that talks about serendipitous moments in history. Serendip History.
Interesting. Serendip History. Tell me more about it.
To Serendip History. I'm Alice Dare Crook. There are times throughout the centuries when unique individuals come together and achieve extraordinary moments of inspiration. For instance, in 1816, Lord Byron met Percy Shelley and Mary Shelley at Lake Geneva, and all present were challenged to create literary work. An event which inspired Mary Shelley to write Frankenstein and Lord Byron to create Don Juan and inspired Percy Shelley to create, probably some poetry or something. And there was the time in December 1970 when Elvis met President Nixon in the Oval Office and together they recorded on tape an 18 and a half minute musical masterpiece that was unfortunately destroyed by Elvis himself, who felt his vocals were eclipsed by what he called Nixon's swinging tones, man. In today's story, two important figures in the world of literature meet for the first time, and inspiration abounds in a moment of Serendip History. It is 1842, February. Celebrated author Charles Dickens has traveled across the Atlantic on the steamship Britannia and arrived in the United States for a tour. Reaching New York, Dickens, or Boz, as he was affectionately known at the time, meets one of the New World's foremost literary giants, Washington Irving. Come with us on this journey to discovery with our presentation of Sunnyside Down, a tale of two authors.
Ah, Dickens, come in, come in. Wonderful to meet you. It's not often that the world's greatest man of letters meets a very good author from England.
Quiet.
You must have had a long voyage, Boz. How was your crossing? Oh, may I call you Boz?
Of course. My given name is Charles Dickens, but my friends call me Boz.
And you may call me Ambassador Washington Irving.
Ambassador?
I'm afraid so. President Tyler's been asking me. Can't put him off too much longer, you know what I mean. Well, maybe you will one day. But of course for me, when my nation needs me as ambassador to Spain, I say, ¿Dónde está el cuarto del baño? Am I right?
You must be right, ambassador.
Of course I am. So, you've come to the United States for pleasure or for inspiration?
I come mainly to discuss strong international copyright laws, ambassador.
Do you believe there's a major problem?
You American fellows have been pilfering my work for years.
Surely not recently. I read Barnaby Rudge, but I doubt anyone else has.
My Barnaby Rudge was underappreciated, but everyone should know of the Gordon Riots of 1780.
Well, if you're going to write about public unrest, Boz, why not rubbish the French? There's enough for two tales there.
I was thinking something of working on something new. A Christmas story, perhaps.
Oh, bad move, Charles. I beat you to it. Everyone the world over knows the sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon as the quintessential Christmas story.
Yes, I was 8 years old when I read that work. Marvelous.
Thank you, Boz.
Have you written anything since?
Remember, the sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon was a seminal point in global literature. One can't think of Christmas without thinking of Crayon at Bracebridge Hall.
One can imagine every Christmas will retell the story of Geoffrey Crayon in plays. In variations, perhaps.
Exactly. So Christmas stories have been done, good man. As simple as that. What could you possibly think to add to Christmas lore?
Well, I am thinking about writing a story about a rich man's inheritance and so on, but I can't get Christmas out of my brain.
Oh, my brother Ebenezer would love your rich man's inheritance story.
Ebenezer, you say?
Ebenezer, my brother, yes. He's fallen on hard times, what with the fire to his store and all, but we have great expectations he'll pull through. He's been frugal with his money, so that makes a big difference.
Is it tough, old bird?
He hasn't given up the ghost yet, Boz, old boy. But he hasn't been at all happy. He holds a rather bleak house, indeed.
Such an event would give anyone pause.
Obviously, last Christmas wasn't festive. Certainly not like the Christmases past, of course. But who knows what's in store for Ebenezer's future?
And the Christmas is yet to come.
Obviously.
Yes, getting back to Christmas. Do you suppose there's room in the world of literature for one more entertaining Christmas story?
No, I doubt it. I'm sure every Christmas season will feature reenactments of the sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon. There may be plays or other variations of the work.
Children love Crayon.
They do, indeed. So, why set yourself up for comparisons? If you need to write something of the season, just write a Christmas carol instead.
A song?
Absolutely. You can't write a Christmas carol in prose, of course.
I haven't the musical ear.
Then don't lose your head, Charles. Just write about the French. It would be a far better tale than you have ever told before.
Valuable advice from a true friend.
My pleasure. Then let's not talk about carols or Christmases past or future or even Ebenezer. Let's just enjoy our time and hope you find inspiration somewhere along your journey here.
After this visit to Sunnyside, I wouldn't mind if the rest of this journey is just humbug. Ambassador.
Well said, boss. Well said.
Like Serendip History.
The Charles Dickens voice I found familiar but appealing.
The Dickens, you say? Any more moments in Serendip History?
You only have to ask.
Dickens was not the only author for whom Washington Irving provided valuable counsel. In November 1839, Washington Irving responded to a submission from a young writer from Baltimore named Edgar Allan Poe. What is not commonly known is that the two authors met a month later to discuss Poe's work in person in a moment of Serendip History.
Ah, Edgar Allan Poe, I presume. How wonderful it is for you to meet me. Would you care for a drink?
Thank you, sir. I'll take a cognac if you have it.
At this hour?
It's only 9.
In the morning, Edgar.
So you'd recommend only a beer, then?
How about some tea?
Did you receive my correspondence, sir?
The magazine and your story, William Wilson? Yes, I responded to you with a letter in reply. Did you not receive it? I hope my response was not stolen. I dislike to think we may be victims of a purloined letter.
What do you think of the tales of the macabre, Mr. Irving?
The thing is, Edgar, it's been done already. Have you not read the sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon?
Ah, the story of the legend of Sleepy Hollow in your sketchbook, yes. I did read that story, and skimmed some of the rest, yes.
So that genre has already reached its pinnacle. The pendulum could only swing towards...
The pit?
The sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon brings life to that genre. By comparison, your work may only find its way into the morgue of the literary world. And you would rue the day you made such an effort. Why monkey around a rue morgue? Am I right, Edgar? One moment. Helen? She's slightly deaf in one ear. Len? Come in, Len.
Ooh, company.
Len, would you be so kind as to bring us some tea?
Right away.
Thank you, Len.
So, you're recommending I don't write of Tales of the Macabre, but my heart is telling me to forge on in that direction.
Oh, the heart may tell tall tales to us, but never listen to a telltale heart. Come in, Helen.
Here you are, then.
Helen, I do apologize. The problem is, in order for us to thoroughly enjoy this tea, we will, unfortunately, require cups.
And water.
Thank you, Edgar.
Cups and water with the tea. Right. Right away, then.
Thank you, Len.
Yes, thank you.
Now, you write for Burton's Gentleman's Magazine.
Did you like the Gentleman's Magazine?
Well, I read it for the articles, and many were highly entertaining. But whether you're a businessman or just a man in the crowd, the time to read experimental literary work is limited during the week to maybe a Sunday. You can't expect a reader to hang on macabre stories alone any more than you can expect to have 3 Sundays in a week. You see what I mean? Oh, there's that rapping at the door again. Come in, Len.
Here we are, then. Will that be all? I'll try to be available whenever you call. Sometimes it's hard
to hear. Yes, Helen. Thank you, Len.
Yes, thank you. The tea is cold, sir. As cold as ice.
I do apologize. I'm so embarrassed to serve iced tea socially.
If I could plead my case, sir, I feel the odd story is one that captures an imagination and...
Edgar, you may wish to be the angel of the odd story, but you don't want to be diddling about with that kind of prose forever. Have you considered poetry?
That's the majority of my work so far, sir.
Oh, what is it, Helen?
Brought you some nice amontillado that you brought back from your European trip.
Yes, now you're talking, Helen.
The tea was fine. Well, it wasn't fine, but very well. Thank you for the amontillado.
There's a whole cask of it in the basement.
Really? What might a man do for a cask of amontillado?
There's no inspiration there, Edgar. That will be all, then. Thank you.
I don't wish to hopfrog from genre to genre. I wish to find my niche within the American lore.
But unless you wish your work to be forgotten, think of poetry as your guide. Of course, it's entirely up to you if you wish to create some quaint and curious forgotten lore. There's that door again. Yes, Len?
Did you need anything else? I just wanted to be sure you were satisfied.
We're all set, Helen. Thank you.
I'll be available if you need anything more.
Nothing more. Thank you.
If you want a biscuit.
Nothing more.
Just the tea, then?
Never tea again. Never more.
And the amontillado?
Merely this, and nothing more. Now, you can stop rapping at the door, all right, Helen?
Okay, then.
So, getting back to it. The tales of the grotesque are not where you should place your emphasis. I don't care if you write about the philosophy of furniture. Just write something where you can make your mark. Oh. Is that something at the window lattice? Something's rapping.
Or gently tapping?
Rapping at the window? Pull that purple curtain away and find out what it is, I implore.
We have a mystery to explore.
I doubt there's a mystery. It could be the wind and nothing more, but it's probably Lenigan.
Just trying to watch and see if you require anything more.
No more, Len. Never more.
Never more?
She can't hear you.
Never more?
Never more!
Okay. Why didn't you say so?
Poor woman. She may be raving.
Raving?
I apologize. Raving. Raving mad, I'm afraid.
Poor Len or Helen? Len... or Helen. Lenore.
Edgar, I hope my advice has been helpful. And I apologize, but there are so many other young authors who seek my guidance. And what with the state of my household help, I may not be available for further counsel in person. Written correspondence will have to suffice.
Ah, no more young authors darkening your door, eh, sir?
Nevermore. But don't quote me on it.
Mm-hmm.
Moments of Serendipity in History.
Serendip History. I like it.
He boarded the trolley and walked down the aisle to the place of the lone vacancy. She looked up, he glanced down, then he said with a smile, "Think I'll call you Serendipity." Serendipity. Serendipity. He said with a smile, "May I sit here a while, Miss Serendipity?"
Here comes the conductor again.
Tickets, please. Tickets, please. Oh, hello again.
Hello. Hello.
Tickets, please. Tickets, please. Why, it's Robert C. Fullerton.
Hey, GT. How are you?
It's I'm doing great. It's great to see you here on the trolley line. Are you heading to Nona Hannah's Junction Cafe?
Yeah, man. I think I'm just going to sit and listen to somebody else play music tonight.
You know, you've written a number of songs that we really enjoy here on Nutmeg Junction. What inspires you when you create songs?
You know, it could be any number of things, such as with the Serendip History song. It just sounded like a name to me. So it was Serendipity. And I've actually written several songs that are based off of women's names like that, or usually women's names, like the one about Janice, whose middle name is A, and her last name is Qua, Janice A. Qua.
That's right. You performed that on the trolley.
I did. And I wrote another one called Adamant Eve, which was kind of the mishearing of Adam and Eve. And so there's Adam and Eve and then Adam No Less in that song. And, you know, there are several like that. That is just the mishearing of something. One of my older songs, Universal Hamster. The title actually came from, I was listening to a radio station one time, and there was an announcement about something at the University Amphitheater. And my brain heard Universal Hamster. And then, you know, by the time my brain sorted out, I said, that'd be a great name for a band or something. And then years later, I wrote the song, and it was a perfect title for it. So.
Here's basically a universal, unfair question, but
okay.
I'm going to ask it anyway of a creator. How long does it take for you to write a song? I'm sure you've gotten that type of question before.
Sure. Okay. My personal experience, it ranges from 10 to 15 minutes to 3 years.
So somewhere in there.
Yeah, and I've had both. You know, the majority of the songs, everyone gets those. My friend Kerry Johnson calls them pop-up songs, where they just pop into your head and pop up into being. And, you know, but it's not the majority of them. Ed McMahon was one of those songs that happened that way. I think Relentlessly Persistent was pretty quickly written, too. One of my new ones that's not released yet, Full Moon, Starry Night, Glass of Red, I wrote that line and posted it as a Facebook comment one time, and another friend who's a songwriter said, "That's a great start."
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in and I wrote the chorus. Full moon, starry night, glass of red. Slowly the wine starts to fog my head. Still one thing seems to always burn through my memories of you. And so that's when I sat down and I said, okay, I'm going to write this song. It's time. And so I got myself in good place, got my notebook, my pen, and I wrote. And then with a few revisions, a couple hours later, I was finished.
Now, what's your, you know, I guess, modus operandi, if you will? I think you had started to mention it in the fact that you had grabbed a large notebook. Do you write out your songs in long form and on, you know, by hand on notebook paper? Do you type it into a computer? What's your process?
I have two or three legal pads. I have two or three journals. I have an app on my phone, and it's whichever is nearby. There's a part of me that really does like doing it by hand. There's something about that. Plus, you cross out lines, and you can see what you've done. You see the changes. When you're typing, you don't always see that because you delete and whatever.
Sure.
But for me, it's the key part is writing it down. Anytime I've got an idea, whether it's just a word, a phrase, a whole line, a concept, it goes into writing immediately.
Is that because from prior experience, you've lost ideas that you have thought of that could have been amazing songs, but when you got around to putting it down on paper, you had missed those, and so therefore from now on, you don't miss a thing?
That is a big part of it. I can't even remember what the last question was that you asked me before this one. So yeah, definitely that, but it's also, it is the discipline of writing, because sometimes in the act of writing, you never know what you might trigger. Mm-hmm. And plus, it's also, I've gone back with, there was a song I was stuck with. And so I started going through my files and I looked at this other little section. I said, oh, with revision, this, or at least a part of it, will work perfectly for where I am. And so it got scrapped more or less as its own song idea, but melded into another.
Are you a lyrics first, then music? Or are you a music first and then lyrics, or a combination of the two?
It is a combination, but to be honest, when I first started songwriting, I was more music and or a groove or a beat or something, and then go with that. But I think I've become much stronger starting with lyrics recently.
Is it just because of having that idea and wanting to get it out on paper and then kind of seeing where the words sit on the page, and then from there see how they might, you know, come forth in a musical form?
Yeah, I guess so, something like that. But it's just that lyrics is where I've chosen to focus, mm-hmm. just to really refine my skill at it. And so I often will think off of an idea or off of a picture or something I see and work from there.
Well, if people want to find out more information about where they can learn more about you and your work, where can they go?
RobertCFullerton.com.
RobertCFullerton.com. And also on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. My personal page is Robert C. Fullerton. My music page is RCF Music, which I'm trying to change so it's more consistent, but they can reach me there. But Robert C. Fullerton is the best, because that way they can listen to my music too, see my show schedule, and find my email.
Fantastic. Well, Robert C. Fullerton, thank you once again for being a guest on the Nutmeg Junction Trolley.
You're welcome, and thanks for us always providing a great fun ride for us, JT.
My pleasure. So how are you two doing individually? I mean,
perfectly.
That was a bad one.
What should I have said?
We'll be raving about this trip for years to come.
Oh, equally as bad.
And you're both heading to the Matatuck for a murder mystery night? Think you'll solve the murder?
That's what we're shooting for.
We'll definitely take a stab at it.
Well, even if you would have met later in Waterbury, I'm certainly happy you were able to meet here on the trolley. That's what we're here for.
How do you figure that?
Nutmeg Junction Station is a wonderful place to make a connection. This has been Episode 10 of Nutmeg Junction, which was created, written, and produced by J. Timothy Quirk, copyright 2018. Nutmeg Junction was rehearsed at Trinity Episcopal Church and recorded at WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Today's episode starred Olivia Wadsworth as Kristen and David Macarelli as Stephen. The Serendip History portion of the program starred Josh Newey as Washington Irving, David Macarelli as Charles Dickens, Rich Sear as Edgar Allan Poe, and Jandy Hanna as the narrator Alice Dare Crook and as Helen. This episode was directed by Conrad Sinkowitz and featured J. Timothy Quirk as Conductor J.T. Our original music, including the Nutmeg Junction theme song, Mr. J.T., the song Serendip History, was created for this program and was written and performed by our musical guest, Robert C. Fullerton, and was used with permission. Music copyright 2018 by Robert C. Fullerton. Some music and sound provided by YouTube, royalty-free music, or otherwise located in the field by J. Timothy Quirk. Nutmeg Junction can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and on our website, nutmegjunction.com. Tune in next week for another adventure of Nutmeg Junction. Good night.